Out on the bluff, the Fieldstone house was exactly as Sophie remembered it. Night was falling now, and the house exuded a warm, inviting aura. As Sophie approached, she could hear the quiet sounds of sobbing from within. Through the screened door, Sophie saw an elderly woman in the hallway. Her back was to the door, but Sophie could see she was crying. Feeling herself drawn closer, Sophie stepped onto the porch stairs. The woman was clutching a framed photograph of a man and touching her fingertips with loving sadness to his face. It was a face Sophie knew well. Grandpère. The woman had obviously heard the sad news of his death last night. A board squeaked beneath Sophie's feet, and the woman turned slowly, her sad eyes finding Sophie's. The woman's fervent gaze never wavered as she set down the photo and approached the screened door. An eternity seemed to pass as the two women stared at one another. Then, like the slowly gathering swell of an ocean wave, the woman's visage transformed from one of uncertainty to disbelief, to hope, and finally to cresting joy. Throwing open the door, she came out, reaching with soft hands, cradling Sophie's thunderstruck face.
Oh, dear child, look at you.
Although Sophie did not recognize her, she knew who this woman was.
Sophie,
the woman sobbed, kissing her forehead. Sophie's words were a choked whisper.
But grandpère said you were... I know.
The woman placed her tender hands on Sophie's shoulders and gazed at her with familiar eyes.
Your grandfather and I were forced to say so many things. We did what we thought was right. I'm so sorry. It was for your own safety, princess.
Sophie heard her final word and immediately thought of her grandfather, who had called her princess for so many years. The woman threw her arms around Sophie now, the tears flowing faster.
Your grandfather wanted so badly to tell you everything. But things were difficult between you two. He tried so hard. There's so much to explain.
She kissed Sophie's forehead once again, then whispered in her ear.
No more secrets, princess. It's time you learn the truth about our family.
Sophie and her grandmother were seated on the porch stairs in a tearful hug when the young docent dashed across the lawn, his eyes shining with hope and disbelief.
Sophie?
Through her tears, Sophie nodded, standing. She did not know the young man's face, but as they embraced, she could feel the power of the ancient blood coursing through his veins, the blood she now understood they shared. When Langdon walked across the lawn to join them, Sophie could not imagine that only yesterday she had felt so alone in the world. And now, somehow, in this foreign place, in the company of three people she barely knew, she felt at last that she was home. Night had fallen over Rosslyn. Robert Langdon stood alone on the porch of the Fieldstone house, enjoying the sounds of laughter and reunion drifting through the screened door behind him. The mug of potent Scottish coffee in his hand had granted him a hazy reprieve from his mounting exhaustion.
You slipped out quietly, a voice behind him said.
He turned. Sophie's grandmother emerged. Her name, for the last 30 years at least, was Marie Chauvel. Langdon gave a tired smile. I thought I'd give your family some time together. Through the window, he could see Sophie talking with her brother. Marie came over and stood beside him.
Mr. Langdon, when I first heard of Jacques' murder, I was terrified for Sophie's safety. Seeing her standing in my doorway tonight was the greatest relief of my life. I cannot thank you enough.
Langdon had no idea how to respond. Although he had offered to give Sophie and her grandmother time to talk in private, Marie had asked him to stay and listen. The story she told about Sophie's late parents was astonishing. They had both been Merovingians, direct descendants of Mary Magdalene and Jesus Christ. Their children represented the most direct surviving royal bloodline and therefore were carefully guarded by the priory. When Sophie's parents were killed in a car accident whose cause could not be determined, the priory feared the identity of the royal line had been discovered.
Your grandfather and I,
Marie had explained in a voice choked with pain.
had to make a grave decision the instant we received the phone call. Your parents' car had just been found in the river.
She dabbed at the tears in her eyes.
All six of us, including you two grandchildren, were supposed to be traveling together in that car that very night. Fortunately, we changed our plans at the last moment, and your parents were alone. Hearing of the accident, Jacques and I had no way to know what had really happened, or if this was truly an accident.
Marie looked at Sophie.
We knew we had to protect our grandchildren, and we did what we thought was best. Jacques reported to the police that your brother and I had been in the car, our two bodies apparently washed off in the current. Then your brother and I went underground with the Priory. Jacques, being a man of prominence, did not have the luxury of disappearing. It only made sense that Sophie would stay in Paris to be raised by Jacques, close to the heart and protection of the Priory.
Her voice fell to a whisper.
Separating the family was the hardest thing we ever had to do.
Langdon had sensed the story went far deeper, but he also sensed it was not for him to hear, so he had stepped outside. Now, gazing up at the spires of Rosslyn, Langdon could not escape the hollow gnaw of Rosslyn's unsolved mystery. Is the Grail really here at Rosslyn? And if so, where are the blade and chalice that Saunière mentioned in his poem?
I'll take that, Marie said, motioning to Langdon's hand.
Oh, thank you. Langdon held out his empty coffee cup. She stared at him.
I was referring to your other hand, Mr. Langdon.
Langdon looked down and realized he was holding the parchment. He had taken it from the cryptex once again in hopes of seeing something he had missed earlier. Of course, I'm sorry. Thinking of Saunière reminded Langdon of the three seneschaux who had been killed the night before. And the Priory? What happens now?
The wheels are already in motion, Mr. Langdon. The Brotherhood has endured for centuries, and it will endure this.
Langdon thought of Lee Teabing and Westminster Abbey. It seemed a lifetime ago. Was the church pressuring your husband not to release the Sangreal documents at the end of days?
Heavens, no. The end of days is a legend of paranoid minds. There is nothing in the Priory doctrine that identifies a date at which the Grail should be unveiled. In fact, the Priory has always maintained that the Grail should never be unveiled.
Never?
It is the mystery and wonder that serve our souls, not the Grail itself.
Marie Chauvel gazed up at Rosslyn now.
For some, the Grail is a chalice that will bring them everlasting life. For others, it is the quest for lost documents and secret history. And for most, I suspect the Holy Grail is simply a grand idea, a glorious, unattainable treasure that somehow, even in today's world of chaos, inspires us.